Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Chestnut English Podcast. It's me, your host, Chris. So today is April 14th, and you know what? It's finally starting to get warm here in Japan. Up until recently, I've had to wear like this big, thick jacket just because it's been so cold. But recently, just yesterday, it was about 22 degrees, which is, don't quote me on this, but maybe like a 69 degrees Celsius or so, something like that. But yeah, it's finally starting to get warm. And you know what that means? Around this time in Japan, it's hanami time. Hanami means to look at flowers. So basically, if you go to these big park areas in Tokyo, for example, Yoyogi Koen, or maybe Shinjuku Gyoen Mai, then you can see a bunch of sakura flowers and a bunch of cherry flowers. And not just that, you see a lot of other people looking at those flowers. There's people doing picnics, people on dates. And I've seen it, okay, I'm not just making it up. I went there last year and saw a bunch of people on picnics. It's actually pretty nice. It's very wholesome. Wholesome meaning it's a very nice thing, I guess. if it rains, you can't really do it. So, you know, it's okay. But there's a downside to this. There's a really big downside to this, and that is called kafunsho. Kafunsho is like a pollen allergies. So I am unfortunately a very sad victim of this. I have allergies. It's very sad. And a lot of people in Japan, not just me, are also sad victims of kafunsho pollen allergies. And so around this time, everything is blooming and it's really nice. But at the same time, people are sneezing their brains out. So, you know, you go outside and you just sneeze like nuts. And in the morning, you have all this mucus. It's terrible. And you know what? Japan doesn't even really sell much like a strong medication for allergies, whereas you can buy most of these things in the U.S. over-the-counter. Over-the-counter meaning you don't need a prescription. You don't need to talk to a doctor to be able to get this. Not only this, but around now, there's like kind of special seasonal menus coming out. For example, there's a place called Fuji Soba, which is a place that I like to go to often to eat soba. And they sell soba, but now they call it sakura soba. So it's still called Fuji soba, but their menu item, they name it like a sakura soba set, which includes like a katsudon or something like that. It's like the pork katsu on with like an egg over rice thing. Besides all that, let's talk about what are we going to talk about? I'm a little embarrassed to talk about this, so let me work my way up, and we'll segue our way in. So suppose that you and I, you who I don't know who you are, but you know, I'm Chris, and we're walking, the two of us. We are walking in Yoyogi Koen. We're looking at flowers. We're looking at hanami. And then you get a buzz on your phone. And it's not the same buzz as when you get a message from your friend. So your phone goes bzz, bzz. And then maybe you check LINE, maybe you check Messenger. But actually, this buzz, it's not that one. It's the emergency one. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but for phones, like iPhones, Androids, they have a special way of buzzing when it's an emergency alert. So emergency alert is like when you have a tornado or a hurricane or a tsunami, there's a really big problem coming. Okay, or maybe it's a natural disaster. So if there's any kind of thing that's very dangerous for you, including earthquakes, then you get this buzz, and it's really, really loud. And if you have your phone set on silent, it's not supposed to make noise, but the emergency alert goes through your phone's silence mode, and it buzzes anyways, and then it makes noise. It goes, wee-woo, 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 earthquake, 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 earthquake. And it really got me once, okay? So once... This was around sometime last year in Japan. I was living in a different place than I do now, but I basically was sleeping, and around 3 a.m., maybe 4 a.m., I suddenly like jolted up awake. I suddenly got up, and there was a big earthquake alert. And then there was a earthquake. It wasn't that big. I just, you know, my bed shook a little bit, and I was like, ooh. And then, I think maybe 2 or 3 seconds later, it stopped. And then I was thinking, well, that's dumb. I shouldn't have woken up for this. and I look at my phone, I check some messages, and then I'm like, okay, that's dumb. And then I actually turned it off. So I turned off that notification, and now I don't get earthquake notifications. So if there's ever some kind of earthquake or tornado notification, I wouldn't get a buzz. But back to that imagination topic. Suppose that you and I are walking Yoyogi Koen, and we both get an emergency alert. Well, I just told you I turned mine off, so I don't get an alert. So it's just you. And you check your phone, and actually everyone in Yoyogi Koen, everyone around you has that same buzz. And everyone thinks, oh, maybe it's an earthquake, but it's actually not an earthquake. Let's say you check your phone and it says, aliens have contacted Earth. Aliens. That is the topic of this podcast episode. Aliens. So when I say aliens, I mean, people that are not from Earth. Not people. People implies like being human, like a 人間じゃないかもしれないから, maybe they're not people. So just living beings not from Earth. And what is your reaction? Because I've talked to various people here in Japan about this recently, about aliens, and people usually have different reactions. For example, some people think aliens are really cool. And some people think aliens are really scary. So I think it might have to do with what kind of TV you've been watching as a kid. If you watch TV shows about aliens when you were a kid, and the aliens were really cool or they were really nice, I'm thinking about a show called Ben 10, where there's a boy with a magic watch and it can turn him into an alien and he saves people. He's like a superhero. Then it's like, okay, maybe aliens are cool. But I think in the older generation, maybe you're in the 1970s or the 1980s, so people who are maybe around the age of like 40 now, they might give an answer of aliens would be scary. And I think it's because around the time when they were young, they watched TV about aliens and it was always scary things. Like there's like horror films where aliens come and take over Earth and eat people. And it's meant to be entertainment, but this kind of entertainment, this TV, I think it does actually impact how people think about aliens. So, some people might think aliens are scary. Some people might think they're cool. For me, I think they're cool. But it brings me to this. Actually, I think this is a good point for me to do a little jingle here. So let me insert a jingle here. You're listening to Chestnut English Podcast. Okay, so why this topic of aliens? Well, recently I watched this Netflix show called The Three Body Problem. And The Three Body Problem is based on a really famous book trilogy. Trilogy meaning there's three books. And it's a book written by a guy, a Chinese guy, and he used to be a computer engineer. He's also got some background in science and physics. So his sci-fi stuff is very realistic. And by that I mean it's not really crazy. And I guess what I mean by that is just sometimes you watch a movie and it's a sci-fi movie and it just doesn't really make sense. For example, if there's some kind of science fiction movie and it's talking about, let's say, one day the Earth just suddenly runs out of all air. So, kuki mo nakunatta. So, there's no more air. Then there's certain things that I want the movie to explain. For example, if humans are in that movie, then because there's no air, the humans should die. And if maybe if they didn't die, it's because they invented some technology and they don't need that air. But it's not just humans, okay? If you don't have air, animals should also die. So, if in that movie it's, oh, suddenly one day, all the air from Earth disappeared. Then, why are there animals in the background? Like, maybe the humans are breathing some special air, but what about the animals? They're just special? So, if I saw that, I would think, the sci-fi, it's not really done right. But the Three Body Problem, because the author has a big background in science and stuff, I think they do a really good job of making the science parts more realistic. It's a book series that's been made into like a limited series. It's like a bangumi, like a show, basically. Just like, I think, 8 episodes or so. But I was watching it on Netflix and I thought it was so great. And then I thought a lot about aliens. I'm not going to say any spoilers about the show, but I'll say it was really good. And if you're interested, you should look up the ratings and see it if you're into sci-fi stuff. And yeah, I thought the actors all did a great job. And maybe this is a good point for another jingle. You're listening to Chestnut English Podcast. So, about the three body problem, I actually already knew the story of what it's supposed to be before I went in. I read the Wikipedia summaries for this in college, and I feel like this is in high school. Well, just in school, I guess. Sometimes the teacher gives you homework to read a book, and then if you are really lazy like me, then maybe you actually don't read the book and you just read the summary online. You Google summary for whatever book the homework is, and then after you read that summary, then you kind of feel like, oh, I understand the book. So I did that for a three body problem. It wasn't homework. I actually just did it for fun because my friend, my programming friend from college, recommended it to me. But I read the summary and it was great. But then, because I've already read the summary, when I watched the Netflix show, I thought, I already know what happens in the end. Because when you hear some story, even if you heard the story a long time ago, okay, and I read this summary in maybe 10 years ago, and I remember the end. Why? Because, have you ever heard of the story of the three little pigs? If I ask you the ending, what do you say? Well, the small pig, the smallest pig was the smartest, and you'd kind of remember that. What about in the end of The Little Mermaid? What happens? It's a happy ending. Like she and her boyfriend person get together, and they're very happy. So yeah, in that way, I felt like I already knew the ending of the three body problem. But if I ask you a certain small question, like in The Little Mermaid, do you remember like what happens when that fish told this fish this thing, and that fish had like a special reaction or something? But you don't remember these small details. So going into the three body problem, like going into watching this show, I actually didn't already know what was going to happen, but I had a great time. And I think it's partially because the actors did a great job. It's partially because the writing was really well done. Partially because the cinematography was really good. But yeah, it's great. Anyways, it's not a gonna be a spoiler, but I want to talk about like a science term that was mentioned in this book series. And again, I'm not doing any spoilers for this, but the second book in the three book trilogy is called The Dark Forest. And the Dark Forest is a coined term. It's a term that's been made popular, and people generally use it not just to talk about this book. The Dark Forest is basically this idea that explains why we maybe haven't, it explains one idea of maybe why we haven't discovered aliens yet. And by the way, for people who haven't really, I don't know, looked it up before, we haven't had any proof of aliens. And humans have been around for a long time, but we've never seen any proof of aliens. Why? Well, the Dark Forest gives an idea, an explanation. So the dark forest is, suppose that you are in a jungle, and it's a very dark jungle. It's actually a forest. Well, forest, jungle, whatever. And you can hear what's around you, but you can't see anything. You can see what's around you, what's really close to you, but you can't really see far away like we can in broad daylight. It's very dark. And also, in this jungle, there are maybe different animals. So maybe on my right there's like an animal. Maybe it goes meow. And what is that? It's a cat. Okay, I feel like this is like one of those kindergarten English teaching shows. But and then I look to my left, and then I hear woof woof. And what is that? That's a dog. I hear further away hoo hoo ha ha. That's a monkey. Well, all these things are in English, so maybe it doesn't really make that much sense if you're listening to it, and you didn't grow up speaking English. But you can hear all these things around you in the dark forest, but you can't see. And so imagine that meow. Imagine that cat. Okay, that cat basically told everyone around it that it's there by saying meow. It said, meow, meow, I'm here. I'm here in the dark forest. And anyone that can think about it, anyone who can hear it, will know after they think about it that that cat is living there. And that's dangerous for the cat because then a bigger animal might come and eat the cat. So this dark forest idea, it's actually not just a forest, it's not just a jungle, it's actually talking about space. So we are Earth, okay? You and me, we are humans, and we are in space. But why have we not heard from other alien civilizations? Why have we not heard from aliens? Maybe, and this is what Dark Forest says, maybe that they actually are being quiet on purpose. Because if they make a noise like that cat and say, greetings, we are aliens. Well, I don't really know. They probably don't even speak English, but if they make noise and send any kind of communication, other more dangerous aliens that are more advanced than them, that are stronger than them, might come and kill them. And why would they do that? Because, well, you don't really know, and we just assume the worst. We just are pessimistic about it. Pessimistic meaning you assume probably it's bad. We don't know for sure, but I'm guessing it's bad. That is a pessimistic, it's a pessimistic view. So if we met aliens, well, that would be interesting. It means that, they must have broadcasted something out to us. But if they live really far away and they broadcasted it to us, it would take a long time for that message to reach us. And then that also means that if other civilizations heard it, then now those aliens, like that cat, meow meow, everyone knows they're there. It might be dangerous for that civilization. So this is why the Dark Forest suggests that maybe that's an explanation for why we don't actually have any contact from aliens. I thought it was cool. But then again, I'm the kind of person that thinks aliens is a cool thing. Some people might think aliens is a scary thing. But actually, the real answer, after watching this show and thinking about it, I think the real answer is it's cool, but it's scary, and you will probably die if aliens come to Earth. We don't know for sure. Anyways, well, let me go ahead and change the topic a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about language. Well, actually, no, before we do that, there's this one thing I wanted to mention. And I mentioned that the author, he's a computer engineer. And his science in his books, it's done really well. Like it's very realistic. And I just wanted to give a comparison. So I'm going to complain about another show, another sci-fi show that I think didn't do its science very well. And that show is called Star Wars. So I'm sorry if you're a big fan of Star Wars, but Star Wars, in Star Wars, they have something called a lightsaber. And the lightsaber is a very strong sword. It's a sword made of light, and it can cut through anything except another lightsaber. It's very, very magical, very strong. And my problem with this is this lightsaber, it's so strong, but why is it that they use it so dumb? Like, you have the main Jedis, the main character Jedi, maybe Luke, and he's using the lightsaber. And, like you fight these people at close range, you're fighting them right next to them, just maybe like 50 centimeters away, like you're really close to them, when really you could just throw, let's say, I don't know, a couple different lightsabers. We could take if lightsabers were so strong, we could take two lightsabers and combine them, and then you'll have a lightsaber that's even stronger because you have a long lightsaber. And there's actually in Star Wars, they have a guy that did that. His name's Darth Maul. He's like a red guy with a lot of pimples. He's a red guy with a lot of black pimples. Pimples meaning nikibi, like zits on their face. Actually, no, I think he might be a big black guy with red zits. No, it's definitely not that one. I just thought about it. I think about the image, and yeah, it's definitely a red guy with black zits, with black pimples. And he's got a really long lightsaber, so he's really strong. And then I thought, well, why doesn't someone just take three lightsabers or five lightsabers and just combine them together? You can make a lightsaber bomb if you take, four or five lightsabers and put them together. And then if you throw it at the enemy, then there's five lightsabers, and it's probably pretty good. You can't really block the lightsaber because the lightsaber is supposed to be very, very strong. And then not just that, but lightsabers, like Luke Skywalker, okay? So the main character of Star Wars, he's just walking, walking, and then a bunch of white guys start shooting at him. And I mean by white guys, I mean the people wearing white uniforms. We don't actually know if they're white, but they're shooting guns at Luke Skywalker. And Luke Skywalker, he can deflect the bullets, okay? The bullets come to him. He uses his special lightsaber sword and he blocks the bullets. So I think it makes sense if there's one person shooting at him and he blocks it. Wow, really well done. He predicts it. Pew, pew, pew. That's really good. It's like someone playing baseball. When the ball comes, you hit the ball and you deflect it. But sometimes in Star Wars, there's like 100 people and they're all shooting at him. And then Luke Skywalker does this thing where he deflects everything. Okay, so there's 100 white people shooting him with guns and he blocks all of them, 100%. He doesn't mess up. And I thought, wait, 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 that doesn't make sense. Okay, if there's 100 bullets, if there's two blasters, okay, two weapons, two guns shooting at you, and those bullets are coming at the same time, the lasers are coming at the same time, yeah, maybe if you're really good, you can block it with your sword. You know, you just put your sword in a special way and you block those two. But then what if there's 100? Well, then 100, they're gonna be in a really, it's not gonna have a straight line shape. So you can't block it all at once. You're gonna get hit. And then these Jedi, you know, I know they're supposed to be really strong and they have a lot of insight. They have a lot of sense of what's coming in the future. But you with no matter how much insight, even if you know where they're coming, you can't block all 100 unless you move your hands really, really, really fast. So that's my problem with Star Wars. I was watching Star Wars and I thought, you know, they have all this smart technology, but they're so dumb. And then I thought, okay, it's not really that realistic. But and I don't want to praise the three body problem too much, but on you know the three body problem, I think they didn't really have this kind of crazy sci-fi, but it was really based on reality. So and it focuses a lot about on like a human reaction to things. So if this happened, what would be the natural response for that person to handle that situation, something like that. So I thought that was pretty well done. And let me explain one more thing, and then I guess we'll probably it's been about 22 minutes here. I'm looking at the timer. Let me explain one more thing, and then we'll call it a day. Call it a day, meaning it'll be over. So gaijin. What does gaijin mean? Gaijin means like foreigner. And what does gaikokujin mean? It means foreigner. They both mean foreigner. Well, there's actually slightly different because gaikokujin is the proper like a nice way to say it. That's not rude. And then gaijin is like damn foreigner. It's like a rude way of saying foreigner. And the funny thing is in English this also exists. Okay, so you can say a foreigner, and it's not really particularly rude. And you can say alien or illegal alien or something like that. And this is pretty rude. You don't want to say this on TV. You should definitely say foreigners. But I thought it's pretty cool how in Japanese and English you have a special way to insult foreigners by calling them a certain way. And I definitely have heard certain things in Japan about gaijin, where like people who really don't like foreigners, they usually use the word gaijin. And once I went to this ramen restaurant, and there was a bald owner. It doesn't matter that he's bald. That's how I remember things. But I was paying for some ramen, and I tried to pay with a credit card, and then the guy was like, "Oh no, we don't take." And we're talking in Japanese, and then the guy looks at me, and since I look kind of Asian, you know, because my parents are Taiwanese, so I look kind of Asian enough, and he's like, so he probably assumes I'm Japanese, and I'm also in an area in Sapporo that is like a really it wasn't Sapporo, I think it was Otaru. It was a pretty remote middle of nowhere place, like 結構田舎みたい. And then so I was like, oh, can I pay with credit card? And he said, oh no, you can't pay with credit card because and he's got a lot of complaints. Like いっぱい悩みがある. He has a lot of complaints, and he's like, oh yeah, because the gaijins, they all do the refund, they do the chargeback. And then we have to pay. Even though I gave them good ramen, after they pay with credit card, they do a chargeback. Chargeback meaning when the customer complains on the credit card and says, "Sono omise wa sagisha," like that store is a scammer, and then they get their money back. And then so the guy's like, yeah, Gaijins are always doing this kind of credit card thing. And I was thinking, well, number one, I don't think all Gaijins do that. Number two, I'm also a Gaijin. But what I said was, oh, so then this guy, I'm like, oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm not looking to make a scene. I'm not going to be like, you can't say that. I'm just trying to pay for my ramen. And you know what? It was pretty good. The racist ramen was pretty good. So with that, thank you all for listening to this episode of Chess on English podcast. And remember, if we find out that there are aliens out there, we should probably be